You're listening to the People Over Profit podcast. Hi, I'm Justine Beauregard. Since 2008, I've been helping small businesses and entrepreneurs increase their income in ways that feel good to them. For decades, we've been led to believe that business is just a numbers game, but really, it's a relationships game. On this show, you'll learn what it takes to create more income without sacrificing your integrity or your joy to do it. With fresh takes on sales, marketing, and other growth-focused topics, you'll be able to lead your business or team to greater success by focusing on quality connections, not vanity metrics. If you believe in putting people first, you belong here. Now, let's spend some quality time together. When you think about the cost of doing business, there's the obvious things like taxes and health insurance and software. The list goes on. But in my nearly 10 years of owning a business, the highest cost by far has been on the mental health and emotional side. I've been humiliated more times than I can count. And fear? Forget it. It's one of those daily emotions that I feel like I can't avoid. It pops up everywhere, all the time. And I want to get clear with you about what these emotions are and how they look and feel to us so that we can strategize together on what we can do to overcome them, what you can do to overcome them. And by overcome them, I don't mean avoid them, because we can't outrun our fear. Overcome simply means finding ways to cope and manage and deal with them when they inevitably show up so that they cost you less in the short and long term. So let's start by talking about humiliation. Humiliation is this feeling of embarrassment and shame that happens when someone makes you feel stupid, or when you feel stupid, or when you make a mistake in a public way. That's it. It's simple. You or someone else makes you feel like an idiot. And the more risks you take, the more you're gonna feel this. Trust me, I know firsthand. But what even is risk? The dictionary is gonna tell you that it's an exposure to potential danger, harm, or loss. I see risk as the skill of doing something with an unexpected or uncertain outcome. And I like to define it that way because it reframes how we see the traditional version of what a risk is. Because you might be thinking that posting on social media without a filter is a risk, so you avoid it. I see not posting at all is an even bigger risk. So when I'm weighing my risk, I'm willing to post without that filter if that's what it takes to be visible and get myself out there. Part of overcoming humiliation is stripping it of its power over you, because you can't be humiliated if you refuse to feel ashamed of your choices. You can't feel as though you've made a mistake when you stand by your decisions. So really, overcoming humiliation is just a practice of self-trust. Learning how to make good decisions you believe in and stand in support of, even when they don't perform as well as you thought, or even when they fall short of expectations, that is such an important skill to build. Feeling proud of the risks that you take, big or small. This is something I still work on every day, by the way. Nobody is going to get this perfect all the time. I take risks all the time. And also, sometimes I have a little bit of ego come into play and I don't post without the filter. I don't take a second to reflect on what's the bigger risk here. So I just want to put that out there as I'm explaining this to you, because that's the real talk behind, right? Like, we can sit here and talk about the ideal scenarios all day long, but I want to get real with you. This is a daily practice. This is something that we constantly have to work on and continue to strengthen. It's like a muscle. The key is, I don't want you to allow others to influence your self-esteem. I don't want them to have a say in how you feel about yourself or your choices or your business or even the next step that you take. It's hard. It's a practice because we're social animals. We love to feel accepted. We deeply care what other people think of us. I have never met someone who said, "I don't care what anyone thinks of me," and really meant it. especially the people who we care about the most. I care about you. So of course, every time I release an episode of this podcast, I care what you think about it. It's why at the end of every episode, I ask you to rate and review the show. That's not for vanity metrics. That's for me to make sure I'm on the right track with these episodes. That's for me to feel validated in the time that I'm putting into the show and make sure that everything that I'm doing is for a purpose, that it makes sense that I'm still showing up here week after week and sharing these episodes with you. It's why I ask you what topics you want to hear about. It's why I edit my episodes to cut out the awkward pauses and weird mistakes and bloopers, right? Like, I want you to be here and to stay engaged. I want you to love this content. I want you to get something out of it. Because every time you choose to be here, you're investing your most valuable resource of time in listening to this show. And I want to make sure that you're going to actually learn something and put it into practice and see results. Because that's why I do what I do. Not just for the heck of it, not just to hear myself talk, definitely not for that. I do it because I want you to win. Because I'm rooting for you, because I feel like I have something that can help you. And at the root of humiliation, and I already touched upon it, but it's shame. One of my favorite speakers and authors, Brené Brown, she is the go-to person for research and best practices about shame. So I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I'm the expert. I'm certainly not. But what I love about how she defines shame is that she said that it's an intensely painful feeling or the experience of believing that we're flawed and therefore unworthy of love and belonging. Something that we have experienced or done or failed to do makes us feel unworthy of connection. Think about that. Intensely painful. Believing we are flawed and unworthy of love. This is deeply personal. It actually has very little to do with others' opinions of us. It's all about how we see ourselves. And when you can show up and fully love yourself and believe that you belong, when you can show up and feel worthy of acceptance from others, then shame doesn't get to play in your sandbox anymore. It has no place there. So the first step I see to overcoming humiliation is to love yourself more. Believe that you're as great as I know you are. And when that's too hard, shift your focus to someone else, your best customer. There's a quote in the book Freedom from Fear that says, if you're feeling helpless, help someone. I've talked about this quote a million times. And I love it because we can instantly free ourselves from negative emotions that are turned inward on ourselves simply by focusing our attention outward on others. Think about it. You can't actively listen to someone and be fully present with them and be consumed by your own thoughts and fears. Just like you can't watch television and drive at the same time or read a book and play a game simultaneously. This is one of my favorite hacks of life. Just help someone else. And you will not only relieve yourself of the negative emotions that you're feeling, you'll also be reminded of how powerful and amazing you are by helping someone overcome theirs. And what's underneath all of these negative emotions, especially humiliation? Fear. The feeling that you get that causes your pupils to dilate so you can see the threat more clearly. When you start to feel your underarms getting all sweaty and your forehead feeling clammy and your hands just tightening up as if your fear has balled itself up and gotten stuck like a lump in your throat. That fight, flight, freeze, or appease response. Every time you feel, you truly cannot see any other way. There are no alternatives to you. And fear is a liar. I want you to know that. I think you already do know that, right? Fear is just your desire to feel safe and out of danger at all times. But remember what I said about risk earlier. It's the skill of doing something with an unexpected outcome. It's actually courage in action. So the opposite of fear is knowledge and understanding. It's being curious and willing to explore and investigate, to learn by doing. Recently, I was talking to a group of professional and successful entrepreneurs, talking through how we would respond to a negative public interaction. What if someone just went on Google right now and left you a really bad review? Or you were at a networking event and someone made a personal attack on your values? Or you go on Facebook and there's a nasty comment waiting on your business page? One woman said, and I thought it was so brilliant, I like to write down all of my thoughts in response and then just circle the facts. And I love this because the facts are often buried in a sea of emotional reactions to them. Fear versus facts. So good. So actually, we came up with a framework because that's how I roll. I'm always trying to come up with really simple ways to remember things and step-by-step frameworks that I can use over and over again. So this is what we came up with as a framework for managing our reputations when they're challenged. And I think it's actually really similar to how we would overcome feelings of fear. So step one, immediately write down your thoughts in response, right? You feel that fear or you see that negative review, write down everything that comes to mind for you. Then step two is circle only the facts in what was written down. This is going to significantly cut down everything that you wrote because usually our initial reaction is the most emotional response we'll have. Then walk away for at least 30 minutes. I like to sleep on it, but that's not always a possibility, right? Sometimes we just can't even get to sleep until we respond. Step four is to talk it out or explore it from a place of curiosity. And in this case, I would say if you have a therapist, that's a great place to start. If you have a friend, if you want to just explore it in your journal and kind of use some prompts, like whatever you need to do to kind of talk it out. In terms of a negative review, it might be getting that person on the phone, talking it through. And then step five is to reflect what you hear and know when to stop engaging. And this is really important. Know when to stop engaging. Think about that. Sometimes overcoming your fear actually starts by choosing to stop engaging with it. Just like that quote, if you're feeling helpless, help someone. You might need to ask for help or support. You might need to step away or take a break. You might need to redirect your attention somewhere else. You might need to revisit your approach to build back up your confidence or feel more comfortable before you make your next move. And you also might need to decide to let it go for the foreseeable future. All of these options are hard. Choose your hard. That's all life is, a collection of choices and epiphanies about who we are and what we want and what we're willing to do to get it. How we'll do it once we decide what we want, what our risk tolerance looks like, what our threshold for fear is. And just remember, as Rumi says, 99.9% of the things you worry about don't even happen. Most of the pain that you are going to experience in your life occurs in your mind. It's not even real. So here it is. I'm going to end this episode by handing you a virtual permission slip to redefine what risk means to you, to trust yourself more than you ever have, and to make bold moves in support of your best life. So take it, get out there, and go get them. If you found this episode helpful, hit the subscribe button. And if you haven't yet, please rate and review the show. I appreciate your honest feedback. Plus, it helps more people find this content so they can grow their businesses by putting people first too. And if you have any questions or ideas for future episodes, send them to Justine at JustineBeauregard.com. I can't wait to hear from you, and I'll see you next week.